Welcome, this is Brian with Brian Spain Domain, and today we are going to talk about one of the most famous photographs in war journalism history, and in many ways one of the most famous photographs of all time is the one you are looking at if you can see it. It was taken during the Spanish Civil War and published originally in a French magazine called Vue, but more famously in Life magazine, which for those of you who are too young to remember, was one of the most important publications of its time. As one person put it, for 36 years, Life magazine showed us the world for next to nothing. Now, this picture was taken by the iconic graphic reporter Robert Capa, who many consider to be the greatest wartime photographer of all time. He covered the Spanish Civil War thoroughly, and then later on moved to China and different parts, stages or theaters of World War II and the Korean War, and finally the Indochina conflict, which was prior to the Vietnam War. And there he stepped on a landmine and was killed at the age of 40. So his career was intense, but relatively short. This picture is known, or was known originally, as Death of a Falling Soldier. It's now known as just The Falling Soldier, and that's probably the more accurate term. It is one of the most recognizable pictures about war, and also one of the most debated. But before we get to that, let's talk about the picture itself and learn a little bit why originally it was so famous. This picture supposedly depicts the exact moment when a militia fighter for the Republican side, because you had some of the army, but a lot of them were just groups of soldiers of different ideologies, anarchists, communists, and they would get together and they would try to stop the invading forces led by Franco. So he was on the Republican side, which happened to be the side of the legitimate government. And at that moment, he is shot, originally thought to be in the head, although that was not true. He was wearing a cap and is falling back dramatically. His head is sort of looking away in agony. His right hand is releasing his rifle. His left hand is sort of slumping behind his thigh. It's sort of the hand itself is sort of starting to clench as if his muscles are giving in. And despite the granular, somewhat out of focus image, which was particularly characteristic of Robert Capa's style, it was a powerful picture. It had that feel of being the real thing. This is what war is like. That was sort of the Capa catchphrase, "This is war." And the moment apparently took place on September 5th, 1936. The Spanish Civil War had just started about a month and a half before, and the place was supposedly a hill just outside of the city of Cordoba in the south of Spain and Andalusia. And this was a famous hill because there were some ancient remains from the Roman times and stuff like that. It was called the Cerro Muriano, the Murian Hill. Capa was already earning a reputation for showing the world the horrors of war, not just on the front, but also in sort of the background and the cities and how everyday people suffered from it. He liked close-ups. He liked movement. If you look at this picture, you can see the speed, you can see the tension, and sort of the ruthlessness of combat, as well as the fleetingness of life. It just suddenly, the man was killed. And for decades, that photograph was reproduced over and over again. I remember seeing it for the first time when I was a kid. I really do. I think it was maybe one of those Life magazine collections or something. And I was fascinated by it. I don't know, even disturbed by it. I don't think I really understood exactly what was happening. But it made you feel uncomfortable. And I think Capa was trying to convey that when he printed that picture. However, like so many aspects of the Spanish Civil War and of life itself, a lot of times, things aren't necessarily what they seem to be. There is a lot of controversy surrounding this picture, where it was really taken. Is it really a picture of a man getting shot in the head or being killed? It doesn't have to be in the head. And was Robert Capa really the person who took the picture. So there's a lot of mystery behind it. Mysteries that have been going on for a long time. Now, who was Capa? Who was this man? He wasn't American, as many people sometimes think. That was sort of his adopted persona. He was a Hungarian. His name was Andre Friedman, and Robert Capa was his made-up name, his pseudonym. And it also happened to be the same pseudonym used by his partner, his professional and sentimental partner, a woman named Gerda Taro, who was also at the same time using a fake name for a pioneering German photographer. Her real name was Goethe Porohil or something like that. You're going to have to forgive me for butchering that last name. But anyway, the point being that to many people's surprise, even mine, the name Robert Capa was a pseudonym, an artistic name for not just the man himself, but for him and his partner. So they both use this name, Robert Capa, and it isn't always easy to know who took what photograph. Taro would die in 1937, the following summer, during a battle outside of Madrid called Brunete. Unfortunately for her, a tank actually fell on her. So after that, obviously, any picture under that name would have been by the man originally known as Andre Friedman. Still, for many, many years, it was assumed that when we said Robert Capa and we talked about the falling man, we were talking about Robert Capa, the man. Then came 1975 and a book known as The First Casualty by a writer named Philip Knightley. And it discussed the roles and myths and sort of deceptions at times surrounding war's correspondence ever since the Crimean War. Knightley argued that the picture had been staged. It was sort of based on stories he had heard from others who knew Capa and said that they weren't in battle, but they wanted to come up with sort of a battle feel to their images. And this was an assertion that many people sort of chimed into. But it was against what many people believed to be true, like Capa's biographer, for example, Richard Whelan. And other Capa supporters aggressively dismissed the theory and said it was just a total pile of manure. But the doubts lingered. And every once in a while, more information would come up about this picture in the 1990s, for example. The supposed identity of the falling man was said to be determined to be a Republican militia fighter from Alicante. Alicante is a region on the southeastern coast of Spain in the Mediterranean, and the name was Federico Borrell Garcia, known by his nickname Taino. Borrell did die that day on September 5th and in the general area, that's for sure. However, despite what people from his family said and others back in his hometown, it seems that a more careful study of pictures of Borrell and of this man who died in the picture or supposedly died, that they were not the same person, or it was unlikely they were the same person. There might have been some resemblance, but it wasn't close enough. In the late 2000s, the mystery or doubts or questions began to arise again. First, you had a documentary called La Sombra del Iceberg, The Shadow of the Iceberg, which covered the topic at length and presented serious doubts as to the authenticity of what was originally said about the picture. They even suggested that maybe Gerda Taro was actually the one who took the picture, as have others, because what they've done is they've looked at the photographs, they've seen the type of camera that was probably used to take that picture, and they have deduced that it was probably a camera called a Rolleiflex, which is exactly what Gerda Taro was using at the time. Robert Capa was using a Leica, the famous camera of that period. Then more evidence appeared, for example, several boxes of photographs, mainly negatives, were sent to the Capa archives in New York. It was known as the Mexican suitcase because I believe they came from Mexico. They've been taken there from Spain, and there were lots of negatives of the same series of pictures being taken in the same area, and they started to raise more doubts, more questions. For example, there was another picture of another militia fighter falling to his death in almost the same exact place as the famous picture. And they could tell that because you could see the angle of the land below them, and in the background, the mountains. Everything was basically exactly the same. So it must have been taken with a camera, possibly using a tripod, and if the person falling in the exact same place. Now, with the help of this series of photographs, what experts started to do was sort of, as I was telling you before, look at the background. Look at the mountains and the terrain and the land behind the subjects of these pictures. And they were using them to try to locate where they were taken. And it was soon discovered that the famous Cerro Muriano outside of Cordoba was not where these pictures were taken. They were actually taken about 50 kilometers away. That's 35 miles or so, 30, 35 miles. And near a town called Espejo, which was not where the front was at the time. And no fighting was taking place there until the end of September. And we know that the picture was taken either September 4th or September 5th. And that has been pretty much confirmed. To many, that seems like proof that he was staging the photograph because he said it was somewhere else and it was in a completely different place. Now, it does make it suspicious, but it doesn't necessarily mean that what we are seeing in the photograph is not real. A number of things could have been happening. Maybe they were just taking photographs of soldiers running forward or diving and doing things like that, which was not an uncommon practice for photographers at the time, because they just couldn't always be on the front line and rarely were. And maybe that was just one of these situations where they were just coming up with some pictures to say, here are some soldiers running back and forth, or here they are from in the trenches or getting out of the trenches. And just as that happened, someone got shot. It's not unthinkable because enemy soldiers or, machine gunners, in fact, I think Capa mentions this, that they were gunned down by a machine gun, could have been found anywhere. And maybe they just ambushed them when they realized that they weren't sort of focusing on the front or looking for any enemy soldiers. And this man was killed in action, even though he really wasn't supposed to be in action when the picture was being taken. Which, from what people have learned and researched, seems like the most likely scenario if we are really looking at a picture of a man getting shot and a death in progress. The other possibility is that none of that happened, and it's just a man falling, and it was well done. The picture looks really cool, very real. And Kappa just wanted to capture that sensation. From an artistic point of view, there's something to be said for that. And people who are supportive of Kappa sort of will dismiss the fact that it may be fake and to say it doesn't really matter, it's a great picture, so why should we care? Well, true, but we have to admit that what makes this picture so historic, or supposedly so historic, is that we are, in fact, seeing the death of a person, and it was one of those shocking moments. The picture itself conveys that horror and that shock in such an effective way. If it turns out that that wasn't really real, well, then obviously we can say it is a great picture, but we have to look at it in a different way. So much has been researched on this. There are still people out there who are constantly investigating and researching this picture. They're starting to identify some of the other people in the other photographs. They still haven't officially identified who this man was. If they did or had, we might have more information about who he was, because if it turns out that we know who this person was, but he didn't die until 1938 or until 1965, well, then we have more of an idea of what the purpose of this photograph was or is. It's an emotionally charged subject. From the ideological perspective, people who are more left-wing still will defend the picture because it was supposed to represent their side of the war, and they are more dismissive of the fact it might have been staged. Some hard right-wingers, possibly old Francoists, will say it was just a fake and just proof of communist propaganda and things like that. The typical debates and bickering that you hear over and over in this country when you talk about this war. What do I think? I think the jury is still out. For the research I've done, I'm sort of more inclined to believe that something was up there, that it wasn't exactly what it seems to be. And yet, the more I look at that picture, it just looks so real. The way he's falling doesn't seem like something someone would do. It just seems like the way you put your body, you'd be more, I don't know how to say this, protective of your body. It just seems so real and so powerful. So maybe that story of the fact that he was just running down the hill and got shot by surprise is possible. And yet there is so much evidence out there suggesting that maybe it isn't what we think it is. I don't know. I'm sort of in the middle, sort of tending to think that there must have been part of it that was supposed to be staged. I think that's actually pretty much agreed on. The Kappa family, the biographers, there's a whole world there that are jealously secretive about the legacy of Robert Kappa and would like people to forget about the controversy and focus more on his greatness as a photographer. I agree. I think a few people are really doubting that. And if this ended up being what was pretty much amounted to be a staged photograph, I don't think that's going to affect his legacy at all. But anyway, people can be sensitive about these things. But for the moment, we definitely know the true location where the series was taken. We know of at least one other picture of a man who falls to his death in basically the exact same place. We know that there is essentially no combat taking place in Espejo at the time, but that doesn't mean some sort of random skirmish or random burst of machine gun, like an ambush, couldn't have taken place. There is a growing sense that if it was real, it most likely occurred by mistake when no one was worried about being shot. And we'll wait and see. As I said, any more developments, I'll let you know. It's still the most famous image of the Spanish Civil War and one of the most famous pictures of all time. And that'll be it for our podcast brought to you by Brian Spaindemain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spaindemain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. And you can also check us out on our YouTube channel and support us by subscribing. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.